This lesson, we're going to be talking about the authority in the home. God established, first lesson we taught was authority in the world system of government, right? Today we're going to talk about authority in the home or in the family, how God set that up. And God knew what he was doing. Some things are hard to be uttered. Like in Ephesians 5, we're going to deal with that first, because the Apostle Paul taught us by revelation, and you cannot understand it in the natural, nor do it in the natural. People have tried, marriages have failed, because they misunderstood the scriptures, and sometimes because they were improperly taught. And they didn't function according to the revelation. They tried to function according to the letter, but not the revelation. So we're gonna begin talking about Ephesians 5, begin in verse 22. But also, you can't teach 22 without teaching 21. Because 21 leads us into 22. And you won't understand 22 until you understand verse 21. And 21 says, submitting yourself one to the another in the fear of the Lord. And that's the beginning of submission in the home. I wrote a note down here. I'm seeking to find it here. We're talking about there's a certain amount of equality in a marriage. When I say equality, I'm talking about in person. Husband and wife are equal in person. But yet when it comes to the authority, God had to make some distinction because of his divine order. That's the good way to put it. Because of his divine order, there has to be some distinction made between a husband and a wife. God always has to have someone in leadership position. God has to have a person to answer for him. And he chooses the husband. That's the way God designed it, not the way it is. And nothing we can do about it. It's not a matter of who's smarter than the other person, who's wiser, who's stronger, but it's a matter of God set this particular role into action here. It says, wives, be submissive, 22nd verse. Be in subjection unto your own husband. Underline the word own husband, because you can't get mistaken here. Back in the early church, or back in some early teaching, some men thought that women had to be subjected to everybody, husband. in other words, I heard a great teacher say one time, this man was telling women what to wear, and this man said, you can't tell my wife what to wear because I'm her authority, not you. So, be subjected to your own husband. You see it? Your own husband. As unto the Lord. For the husband is what? The head of the wife. I'm going to explain that in a little bit. As Christ is also the head of the church. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be also, that the wife also be subject to their husband in everything. I mean, does it mean everything? Everything that pertains until Apostle made a statement tonight. He said, you know, we should subject ourselves to authority as long as they're following Christ. When that husband stopped following Christ, that wife should not be in subjection to everything. Everything, you mean good and evil? No, it's not talking about everything good and evil. Those things that pleases God. a wife should submit to her husband. And that defines this word submit again. One translation uses the term, wife be devoted to your husband. It's a little more plain, but I don't want to get away from the subject part, because the subject part has to do with God's order. Now, devoted, I'm going to tell you what devoted means here. I looked it up. Devoted means having strong love or loyalty for someone. Having strong love or loyalty for someone. And if you think about it, strong love, there has to be the 1 Corinthians 13 type of love, what we call the agape love. And if you got strong love for someone, you're going to respect, right? You're going to honor. You're going to be faithful. There won't be any lying. There won't be any backbiting. It just love bear under anything and everything. So a strong love have to be talking about the agape type of love. And so if a husband love his wife in that way, and if a wife is devoted to husband in that way, then subjection would be easy. It's easy to submit to someone that's submitted to God. And submitting becomes an asset if you look at it the right way. In other words, God created a man, and most people in marriage don't even know it is not a marriage seminar. But God created a man in a certain way. A man, not detailed like a woman. A woman detailed. And so a man is not as sensitive as a woman. A woman pretty sensitive about things. Men just sometimes cut and dry. And so God has to create, put this man in a position where he can do one thing to his wife. You know, it doesn't say that the man has to submit to the wife, but it says submit to one to another. But that man is charged by the apostle, husband, do what? Love your wife as Christ had loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, when that husband loves his wife, he's going to fulfill 1 Corinthians 13. Because that love covers, one scripture says, a multitude of sin. So, when you look at submission and authority in the home under the aspect of the principle that Jesus gave with love, then it set the whole Ephesians 5:22 in another light. It didn't say, husband, rule your wife. Rule is totally different. Rule is in the form of control. Nobody likes to be controlled. I did a study one time on Ephesians 5:22, and what it said was that in the early church beginning, in the infancy stage of the church, when the church was being developed, men didn't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they said the men treated their wife a little bit above a slave. So what happened was, they said sometimes men would drag their wives by the hair and force them to do what they wanted them to do. They were forced to submit. Well, forced to submit. I mean, nobody liked to be forced to submit. You see, because when you're forced to submit, what happened is that there's an element of fear involved. And so God, perfect love, casts out all fear. Love has no fear. So if it's operating under the element of fear, then a woman can only submit to her husband through fear of some kind of suppression. So the Apostle Paul had to bring the revelation. Wife, it's okay to submit, because the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has come into play here. It's no more ruling by fear and abuse. The husband gonna function in another dimension now, in the law of love. So it's okay to yield to your husband. See, because women were afraid to submit. Because, I mean, that's just like putting your head on a chopping block. And say, drop the gavel, whatever the thing. But now, It's okay to submit. Apostle Paul is saying, husband, he commanded them by the Spirit of God, husband, love your wife. I pray on this new law that God gave us, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so now when a husband loves his wife, then the wife no longer sense the fear of a husband abuse and the forced submission. And so now she's under the covering of her husband, and now he's taking the leadership of love. And when this love is taking the leadership, she know her husband is a covering, he's a protector, he helped make the hard decisions, and so the woman becomes free instead of in bondage. The woman, the load and responsibility is off of the woman, and now all she got to do is please her husband. And now when she pleases her husband, it become easy to submit. Easy to submit. She wants to submit. And that's the old saying, and I think it's sort of true, that if a man wants to be treated like a king, he treats his wife like a queen. In other words, when he loves his wife, his wife gonna love him back. If he's mean to his wife, his wife gonna be mean to him back. What I'm saying is reciprocating. So as a leader, when he show love in the home, it's gonna be reciprocated. Love gonna be shown back. That principle, whatsoever man sow it, he gonna reap it. And so the relationship in the house had to be governed by the spirit of love. And so subjection, submission, become easy. Now let's bring that around to the revelation that Paul taught. Husband, love your wife as Christ what? Loved the church and gave himself for it. Now when Christ gave himself for the church, he's laid down his life for the church. And because he laid down his life for the church, then we are beholden to Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, then he's willing to do any and everything for that wife. Now, Christ loved the church, and the church is exemplified, the wife is the example of the church. So that means that Christ, how much do Christ love the church? You see it? If a husband asks himself that question in his marriage, how much do Jesus love the church? What is Jesus willing to do for his church? How far is Jesus willing to go for his church? Does Jesus want his church blessed? Does Jesus want his church prosperous? Does Jesus want his church healthy? Does Jesus want his church filled with joy and happiness and peace? And so when you put that over in that revelation with Christ and the church and the husband loving the wife with Christ and the church, then that woman, my goodness, if she is submitted, just fool him like Apostle says Sunday. Fool him like you submitted. My God, if you're going to get blessed like that. Yeah, Apostle said that Sunday. Fool him. Make me think. Make a man think he's an authority. It'll take you a long way. It'll take you a long way. So why be subject to your husband as it is fitting? Now look at over in there's more than one scripture that emphasizes this. Look at Ephesians 6:1-3. And it's gonna take us a little bit further. You right next door to it. Ephesians 6. Now it talks about three categories of submission we're gonna talk about in these few minutes. The first one is the wives submit to her husband, children submitting to their parents, and thirdly, servants submitting to their masters. Well, one certain scripture called it slave. Now, I like the Passion Translation. We're gonna look at it when we get to the servant part, so we can get a better understanding, and we can bring this revelation a little bit further, because we're not anymore slave, right? Slavery been over. It's been abolished. So we don't want to use that word slave no more, even though it's in the Bible. But right now, that Revelation don't pertain to us. But we're going to take it to where it pertains to, all right, as servants. And so in Ephesians 6 yet? Ephesians 6, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Let me find it here. I can't find it in Philippians anyway. Philippians, Ephesians 6. Here it is. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? This is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And we're going to deal with that. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live what? Long upon earth. Now let's look at the one about the servants now. And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to explain them a little bit more. So go to the book of Titus. I think it's Titus. No, Colossians 3. Colossians 3, Colossians, however you want to say it. It's still the same anyway. Colossians 3, begin at verse 18. Anybody got it yet? All right. It says, wives, almost saying the same thing. Submit yourself unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. In other words, right. Husband, love your wife and be not bitter against them. Then children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Now, let me make a couple statements here. God sets up his authority in the home, but many of his children do not pay enough attention to the sphere of the family. Yet the epistles, such as Ephesians and Colossians, which are considered the most spiritual letters, do not overlook this matter. They specifically mention subjection in the home, that without this, there will be difficulty in the service of God. Your understanding of authority in the home has everything to do with your service in the law, in the service of God. Now, if you look with me to Timothy, Apostle Paul gave Timothy some instruction about what type of leadership God expects us to be. But he said some things to Timothy when he's setting these people in position, what the criteria that they should have to be what God wants them to be, or to stay in a position that God wants them to walk in. I think it's 1 Timothy 3. I'll get that in a little while. Here it is. This is a true saying, 3:1. You got it? Mm-hmm. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Now, what's my point of going here? If the authority is not right in the home, then you might not have the right criteria to serve in leadership position in the church. So the family structure, the home structure, has to be in alignment with what God wants you to be, or you won't be a good servant of the Lord. you won't be able to do his service properly, accurately, and wholesomely. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, money, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One, that fourth verse, you see it? Mark this verse. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Fifth verse. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, my goodness, how shall he take care of the church of God? So you see why it's so important that you understand why that this authority in the home must be in proper alignment. Because if you want a healthy church, you need to have a healthy family. Your family should be an example to your church. One thing I got to say about Apostle. My family, I have a good family structure. And the reason I have a good family structure because I watch Apostle's family structure. I watch how his wife was submitted to him. And I watch how his children are submitted to them. And in matter of fact, the whole church structure is based upon his family. His family, his family structure is structured like the Bible says to structure it. And so people try to find flaws sometimes, but they can't. Because he's operating under what God designed us to be. So if a man or a woman desire the office to serve in the kingdom, the first thing God gonna check out is his family. You see, the family structure got to be together. The wife, Apostle said Sunday, he said, my wife never interfered with his pastoring. Never. And so, God knew what he's doing. I think he does. I think the Holy Ghost knows how to structure things. And so if you want to judge a work, judge the family structure. See how the preacher, the leader, treats his wife. See how the wife treats him. See how if the children are in subjection. Yeah, the children might get off a little bit. Yeah, children might make mistakes. But the alignment therein always come back to God's standard. God's not going to change his standard for one person. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's the way God set this up. He's not going to change the standard. And he's going to always call his house into order. Now, having seen that scripture, go to back to Ephesians 6 and 1. Ephesians 6, 1. We're going back to the children now. Because they said this scripture is one of the only scriptures that comes with a promise. 6 and 1, everybody got it? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now notice, I got stuck on this because he said, wives, submit to your husband, and then he said, children, obey. So I know submit is one thing. And obeying is another thing. I've learned that there's two different levels of submitting, and because submitting you can't fake submission. You know why? Because submission is an attitude of a heart. So a wife submit to a husband, her heart attitude gotta be right. You know when it's real. You know when somebody submits to you in real. But obedience can be fake. If you don't have good discernment, you can fake obedience. Because, and so children obey your parents. So children don't always have to be submissive to obey. Because they don't always have to understand what you're trying to do.
Right.
And so they might not do it with a submissive heart, but they got to get in line. Whether you like or not, you're going to get in line.
Right.
Whether you like or not, you're going to do what I said do. I remember my son. My son was a little boy. And I said, son, you was helping me in the yard. You know how you roll the hose on the rack? I said, roll that hose up on the rack for dad. And I come back, the hole was wrapped so tight, so it had knots in it. He just did it because he didn't want to do it. He did it because I told him to do it. And so did he obey? Yes, he obeyed. But his heart wasn't right. He just threw it up on there. And I said, nope, it's not right. I said, unwind it. It was 100-foot holes, too. I said, unwind it and put it back where I can get water when I turn the water on. But was he willing? No. Was he submissive? No, but he was obedient. So you'll learn submission after a while. See, submission come later. And so that's why you train up a child the way he should go. He might not always understand what you're doing. They might not like what you're saying. But finally, sooner or later, they're going to get in submission. After you get a few knocks. Not from you, though. The world going to knock them a little bit. And they're going to learn from some experience. They got to go, yeah, they'll get away from me a little bit. But if you put the right training in them, they're going to come back. Yeah, that training the Lord give you always come back to them. I still hear my mom saying something in my ear. She's dead and going to be with the Lord. And I'm doing something, and she's always saying, Ronald, let the people work hard. I didn't understand that back then. Because you try to do so much shortcut, and you end up going back and do the thing all over again. Trying to take shortcut. Because you're too lazy to do it the right way the first time. So training don't leave. And so obedience is one thing. Submission is something. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So a child don't have to always be submissive to obey. But you're going to correct them anyway. See, my dad always said, ain't but one man in this house and one woman. And we had to get in line with that. In other words, we couldn't talk back to our mom. And we definitely couldn't talk back to him. But the whole point of what I'm saying is that spadding the rod don't help a child. Some people say, oh, I just talked about you. Yep, just keep talking. Just keep talking. You'll end up talking them out of jail. But when they get to a certain age, you ain't got to correct them no more. You ain't got to put a rod no more. No, because they understand. Yeah, they were a little rough on us at the beginning. Yeah, but after a while, people used to wonder. Mm-hmm. My children wasn't perfect, but my wife and I trained them to a certain degree. And we would take them to the stores, and people say, boy, your children, why are you, they don't be running around grabbing stuff like all the mother little children running around? Because we trained them. Mm-hmm. We don't wait till we get in the store like some people and try to kill them because they ain't got embarrassed now. They're ashamed because they're tearing toys loose in the box. In the store, and now you got to buy it because they're crying. You got to drag them out of the store because they want it. I want it, and you got to drag them out of the store because the boy, come on here. And they get embarrassed because they never train them at home. I believe training, it brings obedience when the correction is made. Nothing wrong. So I don't understand why people don't want to correct their children no more. You see it? But if you don't, you know those things, pay now. Or pay later, I make them pay then. You see it, and so children don't have to be submissive, but they have to obey. You see the difference? Yeah, they might get mad for a little while, but they're gonna obey because I'm in authority here. Yeah, yeah. My mom used to say, "Boy, look," she would say, "I'm gonna tell your dad when you get home." Oh, Jesus. And see, when you come home from work, I'll be worried until you come home from work. Because my dad didn't play. He said what he meant. And he's always said, y'all, don't talk to them children no more than one time. See, people talk until they run out of breath now. And I told you to stop that. And I told you to stop that. They say it 10 times. And the children don't listen because they know you don't mean what you say. You make them listen to you. And then first time, don't listen. If you don't listen, you put a strap on them. And then they learn then. You got to talk to the child more than once, something wrong. It's your fault. And when I see them parents keep telling the same thing, I'm tired of talking to you. It's your fault. I'm telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. People don't like to say, you don't tell me how to raise my children. All right. Well, the world's going to raise them. It's the truth. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. So, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Yeah, it's right. God said it's right. The Apostle Paul said it's right. Then the next verse, he said, look, honor thy father. I see so much dishonor in home now. I can't hardly believe it. I said, Lord, what happened to the world we came up in? What happened to the discipline we received when we were growing up? There wasn't nothing to get away with. Nothing. Nothing. Can I tell a little story? I'm going to tell you anyway. My older brother, he's 77 years old now. One of my older brother. And we would sit down and talk. He was telling a story when he was 19 years old. He never forgot this because it left an impression on him. He was 19 years old. He was 17, and my older brother was 19. I got a brother older than him. He's with the Lord now, my dad lent him the car. You know, he's 19 years old, he's driving. They went to record hop or something they had. And dad said, be back home by 12 o'clock. All right? And my other brother, the younger brother, one that's still living, he said, man, I told the brother, he said, man, it's almost 12 o'clock, we better go. Oh, I said, one more day, it'll be all right. Almost 12 o'clock. And so they got home 10 minutes after 12. My dad was waiting for them with the belt. 19 years old. And he grabbed the belt, and he commenced to whipping my older brother. He said, Daddy, we just 10 minutes late, but I told you 12 o'clock. He told him 12 o'clock. He meant, you know, 10 minutes. He said, I didn't say 10 minutes after 12. I said 12 o'clock. He said, well, he was rude. No, he made men out of my brothers and up. And so he whipped him. And the other brother, he said, why are you whipping them? I haven't got my knees like I'm saying my prayer. He said, you know, my dad stood there and waited till I got to pray my prayer. And he whipped me. He said, well, Daddy, I wasn't driving. He said, you were with him. Boy, that's the end of that story. But this is a story about obedience here. You see? So what happened? What happened to the church? What happened to the family structure? What happened to authority in the home? Authority you don't... Ooh, listen to this. Authority you don't use, you lose. You lose the respect of your children. And the children lose respect for the parents. And so the house suffers. The home suffers. And then most of the time, the children's life suffer down the road. And their children suffer because they don't teach the principle to their children. Now, there's another scripture talk about how it tell the older women to teach the younger women how to handle themselves, how to treat the husband, how to respect their husband. And so these generation traits got to be passed along, got to be passed down, or they're going to miss it. All these were godly principles that God set up to keep the church line up. And so now, you got ministers trying to pastor with their family structure messed up. Who want to follow that? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. It's in the seeing. I want to see if you're successful. I want to see if your family successful. I want to see if your marriage successful. And then come tell me about, now my wife and I got married. Catholic, all right? Priest married us. And he I told my wife, I said, what can you tell us about, we got to a pre-canon conference. I don't know if anybody know what pre-canon conference is. That's like a counseling session. And I said, what can you tell us about marriage? And he never been married. I couldn't understand that. You should have some experience. You got the Bible, but you need some experience to tell somebody what marriage is really like. You don't know it until you live with a woman for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, you need some experience. Yeah. Yeah. Now, anyway, it says, but this is honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? A promise. And what's the promise here? God said, when a child honor mother, and I'm gonna read it I'm gonna read it out of the Passion Bible. The Passion Bible say something I like. I got to find that. Anybody got Passion Bible in the computer? I got it in here, but I got to find it right quick. Help me, Lord. It's powerful in the Passion Bible because he says some things I can't say in my own vocabulary. Let me find it. I'm almost there. What scripture that is now? That Ephesians 6 and 2. Yeah, I'm almost there. You got it? Hold on, let me catch up with you. 5. Okay. I got it. Here it is. You listening? It says, for the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the 10 commandments with a promise attached. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. You will prosper. You will not only prosper, but live a long, full life if you honor your parents. I like that. You will prosper and live a long, full life. And then Brother Nee said, sometimes children die early because they detach themselves from this principle. You know how important honor is. And same thing can happen in the spiritual father, in the spiritual world. You disobey your spiritual father. The man that God told you to follow and obey, you just honor him. I've seen some people die early. Dishonor is a powerful thing. You don't want to walk in dishonor if you don't have to. Now look, let's go to the sermon right quick. I'm trying to wrap this up. I got 2 minutes. And I want to read this right quick over in Titus. Titus 2. I think it's Titus 2. Let me find it right quick. Titus 2, I think it's 9 and 10. Let me find it here. You getting anything?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Titus 2. Remember I said the other scripture talk about slaves, the King James Version? But we know that we're not under slavery anymore. But so God has, the revelation was just not slavery. It call them employers, employee. What verse it is? Is it 2, Titus 2?
Yeah.
2 and what, 8?
2, 9. Yeah.
But what does scripture talk about employers, employees? That's what I'm looking for. I thought it was Passion Bible. But as a translation or scripture, it might not be in Titus. Ephesians 6 and 5. Let me see, check Ephesians 6 and 5 quickly. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. It said, those who are employed should listen to their employers. You see it? He didn't use the word slave, listen to their master. So I want you to think about your job now. Think about the people you work for. Are you with me? Those who are employed should listen to their employers and obey their instruction with great respect and honor. Serve them with humility in your hearts as though you were working for the master. Always do what is right, and not only when others are watching, so that you may please Christ as servants by doing his will and serve your employers with wholeheartedly and with love as though you were serving Christ and not men. Isn't that powerful? And bring it home. So we're dealing with three things. We're dealing with husband, with the wife, children, with the parents, and we with our employers or serving our apostle or our pastors, okay? All right, class is ended. We're going to try and take it up on the church next week.